What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
The draft is less than 1 week from today.
Yes.
I am Paul Charchian, co-host Matt Harrison this week. The draft juices are flowing. I can't wait.
They're flowing.
I love it.
Man, I'm really excited. This time next week, it'll be you and Scott Fish breaking down the first round of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And it'll be maybe some of these guys that we're going to talk about now are going to be involved.
Several of the receivers.
We know the receivers
will be in. I think one running back's going to make it into the bottom of the first round. We'll talk about that, who we think that might be. And we'll probably have some differing opinions on that a little bit. And today we're going to focus on rookies and specifically, Matt, running backs and wide receivers, because honestly, the quarterbacks and the tight ends are hugely down here for tight ends.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks, I don't think either position is going to be very impactful, at least this season.
Yeah, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, and this is Fantasy Football Weekly. So.
Yeah, you know, Malik Willis would be the one different possible guy that you could talk about, although I think everybody knows a lot about him, just because the mobility will yield fantasy points for him, even if he can't pass. But I think there's a chance he ends up on a team that doesn't start him right away.
That could be, and I know Kenny Pickett is kind of the guy that Vegas thinks is going to be the other quarterback, maybe the first quarterback selected. But I look at a lot of rankings out there by guys who are much smarter on the draft prep than I am. And sometimes they have Kenny Pickett ranked as the fourth best quarterback.
I know.
And so it's kind of all over the place on this quarterback thing this year. So
I'll probably be wrong, but I'm just going to put this out here now. I don't think a quarterback will go in the first 15 picks, first half of the draft. I think 16 is the first spot I think a quarterback might go.
I will bet you a big boar lunch that a quarterback goes in the first 15.
I can't take that because a team could trade up. Now, how about this?
Let's set it.
If you take a trade out of it, then I'll take that deal.
If you take a trade out of it.
Let's just say a trade means we push on this.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I don't think any team drafting in its natural position before 16 will take a quarterback. They just don't grade out.
Well, what if like Atlanta from 8 trades up to go get Malik Willis or something?
I don't think they have to. Malik Willis will be there.
Exactly.
Yes.
But I don't want to push on that because they were in the top 15 anyway.
Well, I think that I would pay that bet.
Okay.
I paid that bet because they were in the top 15 and they stayed in the top 15.
Honestly, either way, we both win because we get to enjoy
big boar barbecue. There is that. I think for both dynasty and redraft fantasy players, I think you're focused on running backs and wide receivers in this draft. So that's what we're going to focus on here. And just for the sake of keeping this podcast reasonably short and sure. consumable. We're going to limit our focus to the top six runners and top six receivers, which does not mean that we think these are the only guys who can make a difference.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go turn this into a 1 hour podcast. And then then when the draft gets here next week, we'll talk about the first round. The week after that, we'll talk about all the other players that went in the draft. And the other thing we're going to do today, Matt, that I'm really excited about, we'll tell you the one ideal and realistic landing spot for each of these 12 players we're going to talk
about. Yeah, where we hope they'll land.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Before we get to that, you've got a super cool draft game at Shock Fantasy that people can play.
I do indeed. It's 32 questions. It's for the first round of the draft.
Hey, how many picks are there in the first round?
There's 32.
Hey, how convenient.
Kind of makes sense. Yeah. But you go to Shock Fantasy, and if you're a member, it's free for all Shock Fantasy members. If you're not, it's $10 for you to purchase just the NFL draft prop bet game. But if you want to, you know, join Shock Fantasy, draft 22 is a promo code that'll get you a full year for $22. But in this game, you can print it off, and if you're having a draft party, I assume you're bringing this to the Vikings draft party, and you're going to play with all
that'll be my focus.
The whole everybody there at the stadium
on stage, US Bank Stadium. Excuse me, I'm working on my
NFL draft
Shock Fantasy NFL draft.
Absolutely, yes. But we got how much time will be remaining on the clock when the pick is in for selection number one? You know, will the Giants make a pick at both number 5 and number 7. Mm-hmm. Lots of different questions like that, things that you can't totally predict, but, you know, a fair amount of fun and levity. There's even one, will anybody jump in the Bellagio fountain? From the player's standpoint after they get drafted. Woo, let's
go. Possible.
Cannonball. Let's go.
I hope they cannonball. I hope the cannonball's way better than the jackknife, and it's not even close.
Oh, absolutely.
The cannonball, you get the waves, you get the full 360-degree splash. I mean, the jackknife is, I believe, vastly overrated because most people don't have the skill to pull it off. And the advantage of it is you can get the directional spray on the jackknife. If I needed to go straight or, you know, some direction, you can do that with a well-executed jackknife, but most people can't do it.
You know, after COVID, I gained a few pounds here and there.
Yeah, good line.
You know, like everybody did, but when we were on spring break with my kids, I was doing cannonballs in the pool, and they thought it was absolutely awesome. You know, you get a little more weight,
you get that
pool rocking. So
there's that. Absolutely. Also, we should mention we have a Fantasy Football Weekly Twitter community now.
Yeah.
And how do people find that?
I just tweeted it not too long ago. So if you go to @explosiveoutput on Twitter, it's going to be at the top of my page. I think you retweeted it as well.
So
you can just find Fantasy Football Weekly community. You can join it. You can ask us questions.
Ask each other questions.
Ask each other
Answer
questions.
Answer each other's questions. Yeah.
Find a
Share
league.
Knowledge.
Maybe you got a league mate that, you know, left your league and you need somebody else. You're going to find some quality candidates right there.
And maybe even start dabbling into guillotine leagues.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the running backs. We'll talk through what we believe are the top six. And we're going to start with controversy right out of the gate.
You made the list, and I was like, what the hell?
Yep. I put my favorite running back at the top of the list, although really it's a 1A and 1B scenario. But for me, I have the slight edge to Kenneth Walker.
Okay.
Not Breece Hall. So we'll talk Walker first, but this is not, it's 1A and 1B, and I'm not trying to be really like, we're not going to talk about these guys necessarily, although I think they are roughly in order, but that's not what we're here to do. We're here to describe the player and where they could be a good fit. So let's talk Kenneth Walker from Michigan State. First, I think I did not expect him to run a 4.38. At the combine.
It's pretty
and
fast.
That's really fast. And what I love about Kenneth Walker is, you know, 4.38, we're talking about track star fast, but he doesn't run like a track star.
Mm-hmm.
So many times you get track star running backs, they are north-south runners, and they are upright runners. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
As a guy we'll talk about in a couple minutes.
That's right. He is far more flexible. He doesn't have to run north-south. In fact, his lateral running is maybe the best part of Kenneth Walker's game. So they do these stretch plays at Michigan State where he's going laterally, sees his hole, cuts instantly. The great vision, Then he finds lanes and he is gone. His long speed is ridiculous. If you don't catch him by the second level, forget it. He's just outrunning everybody.
Sure.
So fast. But, and unlike most track stars turned running backs, he's got the big enough frame to be durable, absorb tacklers. And Michigan State used him in every way. Inside guy, outside guy. There's almost, he can do almost everything you want a runner to do. Couple things I don't love. First, just 19 catches in 3 years. Mm-hmm. So he is not, does not look like he's going to be much of a factor through the air. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. That, you know, other than that, I mean, there's nothing not to like about Kenneth Walker.
Sure.
Does everything well. So ideal landing spot for somebody who grades out by most people as top of the second round. I'm going to go a couple of picks early and put him on the Kansas City Chiefs. What a freaking nightmare he would be in the backfield with Patrick Mahomes. Now, here's why. We all know Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still there, but we also know that he's not anybody that can power this running game at all.
Sure.
It's a lost pick, and it's a lost cause. I was super optimistic 3 years ago, but it's over. It's over for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The Chiefs lost some explosiveness with Tyreek Hill. Now they get it back at a different position, but they get back a game-changing, big play, explosive player in Breece Hall, end of the first round.
We don't, well, you mean Kenneth Walker.
Sorry, thank you. Kenneth Walker.
We don't have the full button bar here, but the I was wrong Fonzie was right there for the pick and for
yes, it was.
I don't have it here, unfortunately.
You're right.
Well, let's talk about Breece Hall since you
mentioned
him.
Yeah, let's transition. Most people think Breece Hall will be the first running back taken.
Yeah, I went to the tape, started watching some of the highlights. He didn't look incredibly fast in highlights, which was kind of strange to me, but he's a super long strider and he outruns so many defenders that I was like, wait a minute, my eyes are deceiving me. He must be incredibly fast. And then he ran a 4.39 at the combine. So yes, it's just an optical illusion. He's very fast. But the reason he doesn't look fast is he runs super upright and the strides are just so long. Mm-hmm. And all these short little water bug leg defensive backs are chasing him around and, you know, taking three steps to his one. So, but he kind of reminds me a little bit of Adrian Peterson in his rushing style. Not saying Breece Hall is going to be in.
No, he doesn't have nearly the body of Adrian Peterson.
But tough to tackle, kind of slippery, but not a lot of cuts in his game. Unlike Peterson, well above average hands. Mm-hmm. The knock on him is he's not a good route runner.
Yeah,
just more of kind of a safety valve. So while he's good at catching passes, they might not be schemed to catch a lot.
We see Breece Hall catch a lot of behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, wheel routes. It's not like he's a downfield receiving
threat. No, not like that. His cousin is former NFL running back Roger Craig.
Did not know that. Okay.
That's kind of fun. So he's got a little bit of pedigree
I wish he had the knees. The knees. Remember, Roger Craig had the most super upright runner as well, but he had the huge knee lift. He had, you know, I've never seen a running back lifted his knees as high as Roger Craig did.
That's fun.
In his running gait.
I don't remember that very vividly. I was, you know,
too young.
10 when Roger Craig was.
We were writing about him in Fantasy Football Weekly.
That's right. Ideal landing spot for Breece Hall for me would be Houston at the 5th pick of round 2, or maybe Seattle, who has pick 40 and 41. For both teams, he's instantly the best offensive weapon on the team.
Yeah.
Maybe DK Metcalf in Seattle, but you know, Breece Hall would really take over. And I think that he has a chance to be one of the rare bell cow backs in this thing. So
certainly a workhorse back in college.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I think he'll be the first running back drafted. I also think he'll be the first player drafted in standard rookie drafts this year.
Depends a lot on the landing spot, but yeah, that's possible. And I think it's probable that Breece Hall will be the first player taken in most rookie drafts for fantasy players. Let's go to Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M. I liked a lot of what I saw, but I've got some concerns here. He's a patient runner. Mm-hmm. He's got a surprising amount of nimbleness for a guy who's well built. He is deceptively strong. When you see him, you don't look at him and go, well, that guy's Ramondre Stevenson, who's just going to bowl people over. But man, does he finish hard.
Okay.
Dragging tacklers, creates a lot of yards, very aggressive. He's got pretty good hands. They threw to him a lot in wheel routes, super productive. And the thing I liked best about Isaiah Spiller, simply never left yards on the table. Just every run, you look at it, you look at how that run develops, and you say to yourself, could anybody else have gotten more yards? You're like, well, probably not. There's just the guy just earns every yard, and he maximizes every carry. I love that. Mm-hmm. Super durable too for a guy who doled out a lot of punishment. Isaiah Spiller never missed a game.
Yeah,
we always like that as well. What worries me about Spiller? He ran a 4.63 40-yard dash.
Okay.
His blocking needs some help. Doesn't have a lot of open field moves. You know, at the second level, he's just going to punish guys and try to break tackles, but he's not an elusive runner.
I like that we like parse these things out on a guy's 40 yards. He's running 40 yards, mm-hmm. and we're like, ah, this 0.2 of a second is way too long.
Hey, that does make a difference. It does. I mean, the difference between, you know, the guys who we're talking about that are 4.38 and a guy who's 4.63.
It's 0.2 of a second.
That's the way this game works. I also have Houston as the ideal landing
Here,
spot.
Here, I'll challenge you on one, though.
Okay.
I think he should go to Buffalo. He can take the same number CJ Spiller had, and a whole bunch of people already have his jerseys in the stands, and we're good to go there. Plus, Buffalo, I think, would be a really, really good landing spot for one of these running backs.
Well, and you know he is so different from the runners that they've got in Buffalo
absolutely.
Right now that you know he could walk into that he could walk into a unique role there, but it would almost certainly be a part time role. Because
Devin Singletary's
be there. Earned the right to get 10 to 12 touches every game. Josh Allen is going to run the ball 8
Absolutely.
To 12 times a game.
And that Zach Moss is going to get cut.
Zach Moss might get cut. That's another I was wrong moment right there. Let's go to our next running back, James Cook.
Yeah, so I looked him up, and according to Wikipedia, James Cook was a British explorer, navigator, cartographer, and captain in the British Royal Navy.
Oh, super famous pirate hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also died of a stab wound while attempting to kidnap the ruling chief of the island of Hawaii.
What a great way to go.
In 1750.
What a great way to go. I'm trying to kidnap the indigenous population, and I die from a stab wound. Wow.
The Georgia running back, he's very different. He's the brother of Dalvin Cook. Very quick, looks like a very capable pass catcher and route runner. My worries on watching the film is he was tackled at the second level just a lot. His line opened up a lot of huge holes for him because he was in Georgia and had a great line in front of him.
Yeah.
But he was often tackled like 8 to 10 yards downfield and not a lot of big, huge 40 to 50 yard runs in the highlight package for mm-hmm. him. So it makes me worry a little bit about his vision and makes me think he needs to go to a spot that has a good established offensive line. And when I read some of the pro scout opinions, they share some of those sentiments. He's a little undersized for the NFL, inconsistent open field moves. His second level vision is spotty. So my ideal landing spot for him is the Cincinnati Bengals.
They've already got some pass catching ability on roster.
They do. They got Joe Mixon in front of him, of course.
Yes.
But I think it's a big improvement over Samaje Perine or Chris Evans. If mm-hmm. Mixon were to miss time, and Mixon generally does miss a few games here and there, but they had a huge upgrade to the offensive line. He's not going to be forced into being like the guy.
Yeah.
And I think that frees him up to be like the best version of himself in the NFL.
All right. That's James Cook from Georgia. I think he goes fourth round. It's my hunch.
I think it's late third, early fourth, probably.
Damian Pierce plays for Florida or played for Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He is a powerful, thick-framed runner with a compact build. A lot of balance and footwork on that frame. Ton of burst, good blocker, instinctive runner who sheds tacklers. Really impressed with that part of his game. Surprisingly agile for a bigger back as well. And what I loved about what Florida did with him, you know, so here he is, you know, a bigger back who's, you know, super physical. They found ways to get him open 15, 20 yards downfield, and they're throwing seam passes to Damian Pierce.
Like, and then they're like trying to tackle him.
Right. It's crazy. Now, you know, if you just watch his highlights, you're going to be like, dang, this guy's good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch a full game, you're going to see some things that are going to raise some eyebrows. Does not have top end speed. Ran a 4.640. Only one season as the starter, which is weird. And even then, he only had one game in which the coaches gave him 15 or more touches.
Okay.
Which is also weird. So, you know, here we are, a guy who's going to get drafted in the NFL, and Florida didn't manufacture touches for him. And it makes you wonder what the Florida coaches know about Dameon Pierce that we don't know.
Maybe that he's just better as a 10 to 15 kind of touch guy.
Maybe. Does he wear down fast
throughout the game?
I don't know.
Could be.
So my ideal landing spot for Dameon Pierce was Philadelphia as mm-hmm. part of a 1-2 punch with Miles Sanders. Sanders will continue to get the start. He'll be more of your outside runner. Another good guy with a pass, as with pass catching ability. They both can. But not a goal line finisher. I mean, Sanders never scores.
Mm-hmm.
So here's your goal line finisher in Dameon Pierce for Philadelphia. I'd love to see that landing spot for him. Our sixth and final running back that we'll discuss, Brian Robinson from Alabama. Talk about big framed guys who could make an impact.
Yeah, ooh, that dude is huge. 6'2", 225, had several big highlight runs for Bama. But I noticed the big highlights came against non-SEC teams like Mercer and New Mexico State. But when you watch his SEC highlights, where all the defenders are a lot better,
yeah,
he still pops off for some 15 to 20 yarders, but he doesn't have the huge 60, 70 yard runs.
Okay. Yeah.
He's not very easy to tackle. It looks like it really hurts to bring him down. There's some punishment there.
Are there guys wincing?
Yes, they take their helmets off and they're like, oh, it looked like they just sucked on a lemon after trying to tackle him. Played 5 years at Alabama, backed up Damian Harris for a few years and Najee Harris until last year, where he finally got the nod as the starter. Not super quick, doesn't have overwhelming speed. I think he's going to need a good offensive line in front of him. I thought Philly would be a good landing spot as well.
For many of the same reasons, I like Dameon Pierce.
But how about this? How about Minnesota? How about as a backup to Dalvin Cook? Brian Robinson might last till the fifth, maybe sixth round. This is kind of an interesting guy that you could pair with Dalvin Cook and even pair with Alexander Mattison and have just a third bruising weapon out on the field that just changes the dynamic of that Vikings offense.
You don't want to put Dalvin Cook with his brother, James Cook, on the same team? We're going to have two.
I mean, you would, but
you could.
You could.
Yeah.
But
I think I'm not as high on Alexander Mattison mm-hmm. as many people are, who I don't think is, I think there's a commonly held belief that Madison's like, you know, 85% of Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
I don't think he's close to that. So I'm more open to this than many would be.
Yeah.
But I think the Vikings may have too many holes to,
I think it's a fifth, sixth round. It's definitely a day three kind of pick. And if he's sitting there and the Vikings are like, hey, you know what? This could really bring a different element to our offense.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about our favorite six wide receivers in this draft and mm-hmm. where we would like them to go. Stay tuned.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Football Weekly, segment number two. Paul Charchian, Matt Harrison with you. GuillotineLeagues.com. We're getting ready to turn the lights on. It's getting close.
I'm excited to hear about this fancy new secret sauce you guys got going on over there.
I can't wait to talk about it. Yeah. Can't wait to talk about it. Can't yet.
Though. You haven't even told me.
I know.
It's that secret.
That's how secret it is. Wow. That's right.
Well, I spill the beans on it.
I know. Exactly. You can't be trusted. You can't trust you. We've already talked through six running backs. Let's go through six different wide receivers that we like to make an impact. And this is it's a pretty deep wide receiver class. I don't know that there's any one player that's like, oh my God, this guy's a surefire 100% lock. But
yeah.
My favorite player in this draft is Garrett Wilson from OSU.
I think that the draft Knicks think that he's the closest thing to a lock in this wide receiver group.
It's pretty universal consensus that he should be the first player taken in this draft, in part because Jameson Williams has got the ACL. I mean, I think without that, Williams would have been the first pick.
Could be.
So let's talk Garrett Wilson. There's a lot to like here. Great, super fast, by the way. Very, very fast guy. Gets open downfield all the time. Can get separation downfield. And after the catch, sayonara. Dude is gone. So I love all that about his... But he's got a surprisingly broad skill set that makes him more than John Ross. You know, like run straight, run fast.
Yeah.
A lot of body control. He had to adapt to a lot of inaccurate throws at Ohio State. Love the ball skills, love his ability to go up, adjust the ball in air, come down with it, explosive release off the line. And you'll see him create cushion for himself within 10 yards all the time. He played the slot a lot. He played outside a lot. So we think he can go both outside and the slot, be effective from both places. Goes over the middle willingly. And they ran him over the middle a lot for a thinner guy. I liked to see that they were willing to, and he was willing to catch the ball over the middle and take the requisite hits that come with that. Loved his slant game. He can be very shifty and elusive after the catch. And if you give him the wrong angle, then again, the speed takes over and he's outrunning everybody at the end zone. Big plays coming for Garrett Wilson with whatever team ends up with him. He's slender. He's not very physical. He's not going to beat people. He's not going to win contested catches that way.
Yeah.
He'll win some contested catches just through body control and his hands, but he's not going to outpower anybody. He's not going to box out defenders. He's not that guy. When I watch him, Garrett Wilson, I see somebody whose routes look very good and him getting separation on routes, but a lot of draft experts feel that he's got a ways to go on his route running.
Okay.
Maybe I'll grant you that. Out of all the players we've put on any of the teams, I feel most confident about putting Garrett Wilson on Atlanta at 8 than I am about anybody else we're going to talk about or have talked about.
Sure, they're, you know, the closest one to the top there. I think the one caveat could be maybe the Jets just go have fallen in love with him, and they've been very much rumored to be in on getting a wide receiver.
Yep, they're at 10, so they'd have to get past Atlanta, unless you think they're going to do it at 4.
4 and 10, yeah.
So I don't, but yes, yeah, it's possible.
That would be kind of the only thing I could see that could put a hitch in that giddy up. Mm-hmm. I think Atlanta is pretty commonly mocked for Garrett Wilson.
Yep, I think he would thrive well there. He'd open up the middle of the field for Kyle Pitts. And Mariota's got a strong enough arm to get him the ball downfield where mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson can be really special. All right, let's go to a wide receiver we've already touched on.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams coming off the late season ACL, which has dampened, you know, and put a lot of variability into where people project him. I've seen some mocks have him as high as 8 for Atlanta.
Sure.
And I've seen some that have him out of the first round.
Yeah.
I think it just really depends on how quickly you need Jameson Williams to be able to be available.
So he didn't run the 40 at the combine or pro day due to a torn ACL in the national championship game in January, but he's definitely the fastest player I've seen on tape at the running back or the wide receiver position. And I watched a lot of film on him. So many huge, long touchdown catches. The theme with all of them, he's super fast. And in all those instances, he's just wide open.
Yeah.
Just absolutely wide open. Now, he spent 2 years at Ohio State, transferred to Alabama after he was stuck behind Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson on the depth chart. A couple of good wide receivers in front of him there.
Right.
Good route runner, really tough to cover. Will instantly open up any offense. The Knox, not super big from a build standpoint. He's 6'1", but he's only 179 pounds. That's pretty small.
That's spreading not a lot of weight over a fairly big body.
Yeah, I don't see him as a guy who dominates the middle of the field, but he's a field stretcher, and my ideal landing spot for him is the Los Angeles Chargers at pick 17.
Really?
Oh, man. If the Chargers...
So they got Mike Williams on one side, who's very different, obviously, different from almost everybody. Keenan Allen in running primarily out of the slot. So you think the ideal landing spot is where he's the third receiver in?
Absolutely. Look what Jamar Chase did last year in Cincinnati. And maybe the Chargers learned from Cincinnati. You got a young, strong-armed quarterback, and you got a couple of wide receivers that can absolutely stretch the field. And Air Bear could absolutely just bomb these things to Jameson Williams downfield. I think it would be so fun to see the Air Coryell Chargers come back, and they're just skying the ball out nonstop down the field. I think it would be absolutely a blast.
Hadn't thought of that as a landing spot for Jameson Williams, but with the knee, if he's not right until Halloween.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got fine receivers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that is, they have the luxury of waiting. Keenan Allen's in the final quarter of his career, probably. Yep. So yeah, it makes a little more sense to me than it did at first.
Plus, he might drop to 17 there. So I think that there's a decent chance.
Oh yeah, I think Williams will be there.
He's
17.
Kind of in the middle of the first round there.
I've got him going to Green Bay, but only it's kind of a pipe dream. But I've got him going to Green Bay later in the draft.
Maybe you got somebody else going to Green Bay. I certainly do.
I do. Okay. And one of the guys is coming up next.
Yeah.
Drake London from USC.
Absolutely.
Big bodied guy. He reminds me of Brandon Marshall.
Okay.
6'4", long arms, long legs, creates a bunch of space with his big frame, super physical, highly productive in that offense. Mm-hmm. That USC offense largely went through Drake London. Elite hands, including all of these highlight one-handed catches.
Mm-hmm.
The hands are probably the best in this draft class. And when you watch him on, it feels like you're watching him rebounding in basketball, the way he sets up to bring in the ball, and the way he uses his body to block out defenders. It's not even fair.
And of all these wide receivers that we're talking about, he's like the one surefire big wide receiver on the board.
Totally agree with that. Wins almost all the leaping plays, the contested catches. Drake London's got goal line receiver written all over him.
Yeah.
This is, and again, to go back to Brandon Marshall, you know, there was a string of 2, 3, 4 years where Brandon Marshall was lethal inside the 10 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guy take a couple of steps, turn around, here comes the ball. No defender could even do anything about it because he's such a big target, and he could create so much space for him with his body. But London's more than just a big guy using his body. Yeah. He's got sharp cuts that create some cushion against opposing defenders. Very good route runner. He's a technician. He breaks a bunch of tackles with his strength, and he generates a shocking amount of yards after catch because of his instinctive running after the catch. And it's not just that he's like breaking tackles with a big with his big body. He's shockingly nimble with that body.
Mm-hmm.
The downsides for Drake London. He was asked to run simple routes at USC. The route tree is not complicated. He'll have to learn some more parts of the route.
Mm-hmm.
He had this broken ankle suffered last October.
Did he do that from trying to make a cut on the route tree?
So I don't know this route. Snap. So, you know, there's going to be, it is expected he will be ready by the beginning of the season on a broken ankle, but we've seen ankle problems derail Michael Thomas's career.
Yeah.
So, you know, you always have to be careful. Ankles are the lifeblood for wide receivers. So,
yeah. And London has been one of the guys who's been absolutely skyrocketing up the draft boards. I believe DraftKings, over under on his pick right now is 10.5.
I'd take the, I guess
you want to take the over.
He'll go
higher than 10.5. Cause I think you have him quite a bit later, but
I've got him.
They think that he's going to be somewhere around 9, 10, 11, 12 right in there. So
see,
it could be interesting.
The catch is the teams that need wide receiver after that are kind of limited. Philadelphia's already put so much into that position.
So
I don't know that they're an option.
Here's why I think that this makes sense. I think that the wide receivers are such a big need for so many teams later in the draft. I think a lot of these teams are going to have to move up to get the wide receiver that they like. And I can see on the notes that your ideal landing spot for him is Green Bay.
Yes.
Green Bay might have to move up to get the wide receiver they want if they want to get a guy like Drake London.
I have. So now I'll talk about why we've brought up Green Bay twice here.
Yeah.
So this is my like
your
super
pipe
fantasy pipe dream that'll never happen this way. And it's all fantasy football.
Yeah.
Green Bay uses both of their picks on wide receiver.
And that'd be great.
And one of them's Drake London, who is as NFL ready as anybody who could hit this draft.
Sure.
Totally NFL ready and ready to carry an offense as a receiver. And then you can wait on Jameson Williams in the ACL. No need to rush him back. You afford yourself the luxury with the Packers of being able to wait on Williams until he's right.
Yeah.
So that's why I would love to have Green Bay go Drake London at 22 and Jameson Williams at 28, that it's not realistic.
After all these years of Aaron Rodgers having no first round touchdown passes to anybody but Mercedes Lewis, they're going to draft two wide receivers in the first round and shock
they're
everybody.
They're going to overcorrect. That's my theory. Okay. Let's go to our next wide receiver, Chris Olave.
Chris Olave. I've never seen more of those Buckeye stickers on a helmet. At one point, they ran out of helmet space, and they started putting them on his visor, kind of like the Ricky Bobby Fig Newton sponsorship. In the highlights, Olave's a little bit of everything. Good route runner, good hands, good overall speed at 4.39. Plays kind of like Antonio Brown, where he's not like overly flashy or big, just really precise and good at everything he does. He's the opposite of Antonio Brown in the fact that everyone says he's insanely mature.
Okay.
The big brother on the team, super humble, graduated early in the fall of 2021 with a degree in consumer and family financial services.
Okay.
In under 4 years. So
that's a good sign.
If he's got a weakness, he's not super big, only 6 feet and 185. Probably not a tackle breaker at the next level and kind of average as a runner in the open field with the ball, but he's going to get open and he's going to catch the ball and he's going to go for 11, 12, 15 yards.
He can run a 4.39. He's pretty fast.
Yeah. But he just runs straight into defenders all the time. He's like, hey, that guy's wearing a different colored shirt. I'll go hug him. Ideal landing spot for me would be New Orleans at one of their two picks, either at 16 or 19. He'd have a chance to learn under former Buckeye wide receiver great Michael Thomas and would give the Saints something they haven't had at the wide receiver position in a long time, a second option.
Yeah, it has been a long time. They just haven't had one.
And with Jameis Winston, I think you're going to need a couple of wide receiver options if he's going to get back to being YOLO Jameis Winston and throwing the ball downfield a little bit more.
If New Orleans didn't suddenly have a massive need at left tackle, I'd be talking about them taking a wide receiver in the first round, and they still might. If they don't feel like there's a quarterback requisite
they
of
got
16 or 19,
and 19
then, then receiver's absolutely in play.
Yeah, you could see them getting like Trevor Penning and maybe a wide receiver there.
I've got Trevor Penning going to them.
There we go.
And then I've got Malik Willis, I think. Yes, I've got Malik Willis.
Ooh, okay, so. Interesting.
All right, let's go to Treylon Burks. This is a guy that it has... You will see mocked as high as the mid-teens and as low as out of the first round.
Yeah.
So very divergent opinions on him. He reminds me of something like a less thick Deebo Samuel or a more productive Laviska Shenault. One of the two, somewhere in there. So he's got the bigger frame, not like Deebo Samuel thickness, but he's got the bigger frame for a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Treylon Burks is got good deep speed, but oddly enough, because he is bigger bodied, the burst and the acceleration isn't there.
Yeah.
But if you give him the long runway and he gets into the second level and that he's got time to get the speed up, he can run away from defenses.
Okay.
Treylon Burks creates separation through his cuts, his footwork, and his deceptive body language. When you watch him run his routes, you'll see him tilt his shoulders and his helmet slightly one direction just to bait the hook on the defender.
Does he like use his hands and go like, come over here?
Like, no, he does not.
Please this way. Hey, that's where I'm going to go.
And it works. He creates a ton of separation that way. You'll see plays. He'll 180 cornerbacks, 180 degrees, because his route and his cut will be so sharp that, and the player's just going the wrong way, and suddenly he's got a full turn fully around and start chasing behind Treylon Burks. He's got good ball skills. He had, I believe, no drops his senior year.
Well, that's good.
That is good. Lots of big games against elite SEC opponents, which is great. I mean, Arkansas used him as their offense.
They have to going against SEC opponents. Right. If you got our guy, and you're going against Bama and Georgia and all those guys, yeah, you got to.
You got a first-round quality wide receiver in Treylon Burks. You use him a lot. And they used him all over the field, by the way. Mm-hmm. They lined him up at every position except offensive line at various stages, including quarterback and running back. Now, at quarterback, he went 0 for 7 as a passer. So we're not going to suggest he's actually going to do anything there.
Sure.
But in a league that is increasingly using guys like Deebo Samuel as a running back, Treylon Burks might just get some more carries than we would have ever projected a wide receiver to get as recently as a year or two ago.
And it's interesting, and I'm not going to step on your ideal landing spot, but with Deebo Samuel demanding a trade, if San Francisco were to get a first-round pick, would they maybe want to take Treylon Burks and just try to replicate what Deebo's doing?
Yeah,
in the Niners' offense,
it'd be tough for them to get there though, because San Francisco's first pick is 61.
Yeah, they'd obviously
from 61 they'd be up to trading, 28. It'd be
they'd
tough.
Be trading Deebo for a first round pick, obviously.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, maybe it's a possibility. So Treylon Burks, my ideal landing spot for him is pick 32. The Detroit Lions are 34. Mm-hmm. Lions are both. I think that's an ideal spot for obviously a wide receiver needy team and somebody that can walk in and be highly productive right away, which the Lions need.
Okay.
Let's go to our final. Well, we said six guys.
I cheated because these two guys both could still go in the first round. And I figured if they can go in the first round, we better talk about both of them briefly.
All right.
We'll start with Jahan Dotson from Penn State. And my other guy is George Pickens from Georgia. Either of these guys could be surprise picks at the tail end of the first round by the Packers at 28, the Chiefs at 29 or 30, Detroit at 32. Someone could trade up to grab them. Dotson's pretty tiny, 5'10", 178, but has 4.43 speed. Super elusive after the catch. 10 of his 21 college scores came from 40 yards and beyond. Essentially the same size and build as Tyreek Hill. Although Hill ran a 4.29 at his pro day. But Dotson's got a good route running tree and catching tool. Pretty obvious that I think I'd like to see him try to take the Tyreek Hill role in Kansas City. And I think with pick 30, I think that's definitely
He'll be there at that point. Yeah.
So I think that would be kind of a cool spot for him. And then Pickens is kind of the opposite guy. He's 6'3", 195, still a very lean frame. and NFL teams would definitely want to have him add some bulk. Not a game-breaking speed guy, but his size, his route running, and his catching ability would have him fit nicely in the right system. One of the bigger wingspans in this draft class. Mm-hmm. He missed the first two-thirds of the 2021 season with an ACL, but returned for Georgia's final four games. And I think that he might be the Packers' late pick in the first round.
George Pickens.
Yeah, Devontae Adams' role in Green Bay is a little bit taller and a little bit faster than Adams. Not quite as bulky as Devontae, though. Some of those cheese curds could help him add some weight.
Yeah,
though.
That'll pack it on for sure.
But I also wanted to mention there's two other guys that have an outside shot at being first-round picks, and that's Sky Moore and North Dakota State's Christian Watson.
I'm not hearing a lot of Watson steam to the first round, but Sky Moore, every now and again, you'll see at the bottom of the first round. And I loved his productivity at Western Michigan.
Now, either of those two guys lands in like a Green Bay or a Kansas City, they will be
absolutely shooting
up draft boards right away.
Well, and so would Pickens and Dotson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of those two, who do you think goes first? Is it Dotson with the smaller build, the more of the water bug style? Or do you think it's Pickens, who is the bigger bodied, long armed, leaping, catching receiver?
One of the other knocks on Pickens was he was a little immature. He got kicked out of a few games for throwing punches at some guys.
Multiple games.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So I think that NFL sees that and they'd probably go, yeah, we want a guy who's a little bit more mature out there. So I think Dotson is going to be the guy who's going to go before, but Pickens is a guy who, if somebody falls in love with the skill set, that he might find himself as a late day one pick.
Yeah, I don't think either one's going to go in the first round, but they'll be close. And there are some wide receiver needy teams at the top of the second round, like Houston, with the third pick in the
Houston, who needs pick everything.
They do need everything, but they are really desperate at wide receiver. I think that those guys make sense for Houston at pick 30. What is it? 35, I believe.
Yeah. It's so funny watching like all the mocks to Houston, because they literally have them taking just about everybody.
They need everything. But here's the funny thing. Okay. About that. So Houston at three, constantly getting mock tackle. The one position that they're pretty okay in is tackle. They get a first-round pick in their right tackle, and then they got the guy they give up three first-round picks for at the left tackle position.
Yeah, I think that they're going to play defense there. They're going to go with a defensive player. Houston might be the first team that would trade down, because I think they have so many holes to fill that if there's a team that feels like they're needy at one of these guys, if it's Hutchinson going first and your pick of Sauce Gardner or Thibodeau going second, there's a lot of really great players on the board there. And if somebody feels needy and they feel the need to move up to pick three to get in front of the Jets, get in front of the Giants, two picks, maybe get in front of Carolina, who they might think, oh, they might be taking our quarterback. I think Houston's like the key spot that I think that they could trade down, amass a couple of extra picks in the second and third round and really make a splash in this draft.
Yeah, I think the cost to move up this year is low, and I don't, because there's not,
yeah, I agree,
there's not like these elite separated players at the top of the draft. Like most years, you've got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players that are clearly better than the rest of the draft class, and to move up to get them becomes very expensive. But this year, the difference in the first couple players, 2, 3, 4, 5 players is not all that different than the guys that are going in the middle round. So I don't know that Houston gains a ton by moving down like they would have in a different year.
Yeah, maybe not. And this is one of the strangest draft classes of all time.
It is.
Because of the COVID year, there are more players who are eligible for the draft this year than any other year ever. And it's almost like double. I've heard a lot of guys who do like the big draft guides and stuff saying that instead of ranking 600 players like they normally do in a year, they're ranking 1,000 players this year because there's so many that came out. So the depth is there in this draft class, but there's not that much high-end talent in this draft class. It's going to be a strange, strange draft. And I think the teams, personally, the teams that collect a lot of second and third round picks are going to come out of this draft feeling really good.
That could very well be the case. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
Great job. It'll be fascinating to see where these players go. Do you think we'll hit on how many of our ideal landing spots you think we'll hit on?
Let's see. We had
12 of them.
We had 12 or 13.
Some were to the same team, so they can't all 12 work out.
Well, I mean, they can't all 12. I'd say four.
That'd be, I'd love it if it were four.
Yeah.
I'd love that. That would be,
because we're pretty smart guys. We know what
we know what's
need.
Best for yeah, these
we
teams.
We know what's best
yeah,
for everybody.
Absolutely.
Just listen to us, all you GMs out there that I'm sure are tuning into Fantasy Football Weekly.
That's right.
That's what you have to do this week.
thank you, Matt. Thank absolutely. You for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. Back next week to recap the first round.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.